right through me. Don't you understand? Oh, my little girl. All I ever wanted, all I ever needed is here in my arms.
And welcome to Stop the Presses. It is the 25th of February, 2022, a Friday. It's a Friday all day. And interesting stuff coming up today here on this show. I was glad to join my engineer and co-commentator Ron Avery on his show, The Search for a Lawful Government, yesterday, where I threw in my proverbial 2 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever you want to call it. And his show, of course, is called The Search for a Lawful Government. It runs Tuesdays and Thursdays here in RBN, 2 to 3 Central, just like my show runs in those same times, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So some interesting shorter news items today. A couple of them I'll be throwing in when I feel the urge here. But my main guest is a return guest, Garland Favrido of Voter GA in Georgia, Voters Organized for Trusted Election Results, Voter GA. And he always is doing yeoman's work out there. This guy's unstoppable. Where others have failed, where others have looked like a spitwad against the side of a battleship, Garland just keeps going. And it's great to see, Garland, the tenacity you have, the resilience. You're up against the machine. As Pink Floyd once sang, "Welcome to the Machine" in one of their great songs. And we're up against that machine that David Gilmour sang about. And Roger Waters, of course, of Pink Floyd, has always been well aware of it. But Garland, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Mark. We're like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep going and going and going. We get more evidence.
Yeah, I know. Just when you think you've wrung it dry of evidence, it just keeps pouring out. It's almost like your home's up against Moriarty.
I've been warning the people that there's more to come. It's only the tip of the iceberg. I think nobody believed me, but it's true.
Yeah, well, people don't want to believe that elections have, let's just put it gingerly, integrity problems, much like the election officials. And at any rate, what you have here, the main thing I want to cover today, there'll be some miscellaneous news items. I'll probably pick those up after the bottom of the hour when I do a little housekeeping. You're going to want to hear about an update on P.F. Laser, the political prisoner that's trying to avoid the jab in a California prison. I've got an update on him. And I've got a little news item, it won't last long, on the young globalist networks that are out there that are training tomorrow's globalists. Just a little teaser that'll be picked up in more depth in upcoming shows. But anyway, Garland, I'm going to go to a screen share here and show an item that you sent me that is certainly of interest. And it is this press release here. And this caught my eye big time. I'm showing this for those that are watching the video simulcast. The video simulcast of this show, of course, goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-B-E-R-Y, /stop the presses. This should be visible to one and all. And here's the headline on this Voter GA press release dated February 21st. Voter GA exposes Secretary of State Raffensperger's voter registration cloud. There's the word I get my pants caught on a nail on. Cloud computing scheme, maybe I should scream. And I'll just read a little bit. Voter GA called on the Georgia General Assembly today, that was February 21, to immediately ban Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's efforts to outsource, I just got my pants caught on a nail again, outsource the Georgia voter registration system into an internet cloud. SOS, right, for distress. Secretary of State selected a Salesforce platform. There's privatization right there. Salesforce platform and a little known another company, MTX, like Michigan, Texas, MTX, as the implementation partner in a secret no-bid contract. I'm surprised I can read all this. That has been well underway for some time. The initiative would move. Here we go. The initiative would move the voter registration system outside of his, that's Raffensperger's, public control, I added the word public, where it is vulnerable to a variety of cyber attacks and left in the hands of third-party vendors whose employees are not sworn to uphold the Georgia Constitution. Garland, what is going on here?
It sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it, Mark?
I wish it were.
No one in their right mind would do this. You would not outsource the voter registration system for an entire state to a cloud-based platform. That is unbelievable in itself, where you've got all the security issues that come with the cloud, and we walked through a lot of those at the press conference. But in addition, it's subscription pricing. So not only does it not make any technical sense, it doesn't make any business sense either.
My goodness. I'll just add a little comment here, and then you can just keep right on going. This is part and parcel of what I've seen over the decades, this belief that privatization, that's outsourcing things, that farming things out to private companies is the answer to all our ills. It'll cure cancer and cure herpes and cure the common cold and straighten out everything else that's wrong in the world. But the thing is privatization is a very mixed bag. I used to be a low-level election official myself in Pawpaw Township, Michigan, and I was a deputy clerk, and I saw the township board there privatizing things, in other words, giving their friends no-bid contracts or very few bids, and lo and behold, their friends would always win the contracts. And this whole idea that you can have the private sector take over more and more and more of government, eventually it reaches the point where you've outsourced the entire government. There's nothing left to do. And government just becomes sort of a face of a privatized governmental system. But what worse thing, could you find anything worse to privatize than a voter registration list, a list that I used to upkeep in Michigan through the a special system, the qualified voter file? And, man, you cannot mess with that. You cannot leave that vulnerable to hacking. You have to take the dead people out. You have to take the people that move out of the state or move out of their jurisdiction out of there. You got to upkeep these lists all the time, and it is a very important responsibility. And so to outsource this in this world of privatization and outsourcing is just the height of folly. But I'll get off my soapbox and let you keep going.
Well, you pretty much summed it up, Mark. It makes no sense. It's just we have an in-house system now. And in-house systems are secure. There was a third-party vendor that was involved in our in-house system, but it's all secure and held in-house. You can't hack it like you can in a cloud. And it's not just that it's an internet-based system. They put it on the internet, but they put it in a cloud where the cloud vendor actually has control of the system and the database, not the Secretary of State's office. And we walked through a litany of security issues about that when we had our press conference a couple of days ago. But it's just really, really crazy. And then the other thing, in addition to it being a crazy concept, then you have the issues with the actual vendors that were chosen for this. On top of that,
and yes, tell us about Salesforce, for example.
Well, we did a little research and we found that Salesforce is currently being sued out in the Northern District of California. They are subject to a class action suit for allowing their system to be compromised. And this was a retailer system. And they made the same mistake that Brad Raffensperger is doing. They tried to put an e-commerce system in the cloud. And the cloud is not really designed for that type of mission-critical system. It's Salesforce is a good customer relationship management system, which kind of system, you have data that if you lost it, it wouldn't destroy your business. You might lose your customer contacts, that sort of thing. And it might be inconvenient and annoying and maybe impact a little bit of your future revenue, but it certainly wouldn't put you out of business. So that is, Salesforce was now being sued by a individual who had her personal identification information exposed in the dark web without the knowledge of the retailer and without the knowledge of Salesforce. They didn't even know that they had a breach. And once they knew about it, didn't report it and didn't notify the clients. And it appears that about 20,000 customers of this retailer out in California were impacted and had their personal identification information shoved out onto the dark web where for sale.
Yeah, and to repeat, the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, selected a Salesforce platform and this little-known MTX company, we'll talk about that in a second, as the implementation partner in this secretive no-bid contract that's been well underway for some time to put that voter registration system on the internet cloud. Of course, the cloud itself is this opaque, rather mysterious storage area outside our personal computers where if you save a file there, you cannot physically identify where or how that's saved in precise ways. And you're saying that what I'm reading here, I'll showing this for the video viewers too, and audio-only listeners can easily catch on. The press conference you just had about this pointed out the fallacy of giving control of, I like your wording here, pointing out the fallacy of giving control of mission-critical systems, that's good wording, mission-critical systems to third parties. Salesforce is based on Amazon Web Services, which deplatformed Parler, a social media outlet, just as it gained significant market share and became a threat to larger social media platforms. Voter GA also showed how Salesforce and its president, Mark Benioff, are political partisans who have publicly opposed legislative election integrity initiatives, including what's evidently a Georgia bill, Senate Bill 202. Correct me if that's federal, but I think it's state. But that bill, get this, that bill made ballot images public record so election results could be better verified. What really hit me about that, Garland, was shouldn't ballot images automatically be public record? I can't believe it required legislation to make something like ballot images public record. I mean, you'd think that would be just a given that would be public. But I digress. Go ahead. Mention that maybe, and then get into MTX a bit.
Yeah, you're right. It should be public record. Ballot images and should be public record. We had to argue for it. In many states, they're not. Wow. So we lobbied for that, and we got it passed in Senate Bill 202. And when, we analyzed Senate Bill 202, we said there are some good things and some bad things. But mostly it was pretty good stuff. But, it had a few loopholes that needed to be closed. But you have to look at the bill on a point-by-point basis and say, okay, this looks good. This may not. This is good and that's good. Mark Benioff just takes this approach, and actually Salesforce themselves, to say, SB 202 is just, it's all terrible, voter suppression. It's the same garbage that you hear from the political left. And, he didn't try to point to certain sections that were good or bad. He just said the entire bill is terrible and the governor shouldn't sign it. Well, that's kind of ridiculous because that puts Mark Benioff and Salesforce against election transparency and in favor of election corruption and election cover-up in the state of Georgia, and just like Brad Raffensperger in fact. And now Brad Raffensperger wants to give this vendor the contract when they're on record as being opposed to election transparency and in favor of corruption and cover-up in Georgia elections. What an absurd position for the Secretary of State to take.
It really is, and I can't help but comment this right to vote thing, this, you know, we can't have voter suppression thing, is just such a sham, because there is nothing more fundamental to preventing voter suppression than having an honest election. If you don't have an honest count, if you don't have an honest, transparent system, no amount of voting rights bills or voting rights initiatives is going to make any difference. The very first element, the very first plank of a right to vote society should be an accurate count. Lacking that, what is this enterprise anyway, right? I mean, it's amazing that they get away with that ridiculous argument that, you know, that voting rights includes everything except honesty and integrity and transparency and accuracy.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and then you got the other issue as to why is Salesforce and Mark Benioff commenting on Georgia bills anyway? Salesforce is a company. They're not an individual. Mark Benioff doesn't live in Georgia and has probably never voted in Georgia, to my knowledge. So what business of it is his to tell the Georgia legislature how to run their legislative process and what bills to pass when he cannot even keep Salesforce secure and is subject to a class action lawsuit that exposed the customers, 20,000 customers, lost their personal identification information, got it stuck out on the web, and then it was where it was subject to sale. I would think that Mark Benioff would spend more time running his Salesforce company than he does trying to tell the Georgia legislature what they may or may not do.
It's so typical of these private sector, you know, high flying gurus out there. Your Bill Gates, your Mark Zuckerbergs, and others in the highfalutin world in the private sector that they all want to boss governments around. Bill Gates is the new global medical expert. Who knew? Just to name one rather disgusting example. These guys act like they know everything and they can just boss governments around and, oh, look at my big salary. I'm just going to clobber you over the head with my credentials. And, you know, it really gets old and tiresome that people in the private sector have such overreach and have such demented ambitions and such a overblown sense of themselves and where they are in the world. Digressing from that, I'll show this press release a little bit more for the video viewers, and of course it's very clear for audio-only listeners. This next paragraph really got me too, Garland. I mentioned MTX and that we'd get to it. Voter GA, reading this and showing it on the screen, Voter GA research determined that MTX is a four-year-old India-based company, not Indiana, India-based company with no election experience. Their employee list shows only one employee in Georgia. After obtaining a no-bid contract in Texas, there's one for you, Ron. And we'll get to more. There's the little bit unexpected music came up a little sooner. Be right back with more on this. Stay tuned.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number and any any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Yeah, from a little big horn to the Rio Grande, it seems we've seen the last lemonade stand. Well, all the flea markets and the paper routes, if you can't trade in bulk, you give muscle out.
Welcome to the next segment of Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live today on 25 February 2022. My return guest, Garland Favorito of Voter GA, as in GA for Georgia. And Garland, we were talking about, we're in the short segment now before the bottom of the hour, then after the ads at the bottom of the hour and station ID, then we have a long uninterrupted segment till the top of the hour. But before the break, we were just getting into what I was reading here. Voter GA research, and I'm showing this on the screen still for the live stream video. Voter GA research determined that MTX is a four-year-old India-based company with no election experience. Their employee list shows only one Georgia employee. After obtaining a no-bid contract in Texas, my home state, to develop a contract tracing system, workers were found to have used their own personal computers and email addresses on that MTX project, raising privacy concerns about data security. And this project was criticized by a legislator for having, quote, one fumble after another. So what's this MTX element here, Garland?
Yeah, it's really scary. They are not qualified, that I can see, to even be having this project to begin with. And why on earth would you choose them to implement this when we could have gone to Georgia Tech or any of our own local organizations? We Georgia is pretty deeply into technology, and that we've got a variety of organizations that could have done this here in Georgia. So there was no reason to outsource this to MTX, and It's an absolutely bizarre choice that the Secretary of State made. And it doesn't make much business or technical sense.
No, it certainly does not. And you yourself, Garland, have long been an IT information technology specialist, as you've told me. So you're more than a little bit acquainted with technical matters like this. Just a quick curiosity, when it says contract tracing, that's not like contact tracing with COVID, right? That's something different here.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is a misprint. That is a typo, Mark. Yes, no, you are correct. It is contact tracing, and we need to correct that, and we'll correct that in the press release. I'm glad you found that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, just a curiosity there. So that would pertain to contact tracing regarding COVID.
It certainly would. That was the type of system that it was.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that's going to make that a bad thing for MTX categorically, but right. Like you pointed out, the state of Georgia has ample technology organizations. Georgia Tech, that's what Georgia Tech is. And it's just amazing that the grassroots and university amazing assets that Georgia has in that regard would be overlooked for an India-based company. Usually when you see this, and I'm not saying anything, but usually when you see this, it means somebody's got friends in that company. We won't use any names, but that's what it at least suggests. That's all the further we'll go with that. But I will now pull out of this and get back to the regular screen for the video part of this. But anyway, the way this is stacking up, Garland, you've had so many other things that you've talked about on this show. I know that we don't have a lot of time in the segment we're in, but you recently exposed, and we talked about on this show, the many counties in the state of Georgia that had thousands of missing ballot images. And so it's not like we're limited to what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today, as you mentioned, just the tip of the iceberg. It's just a multi-layered thing that points to serious election integrity problems in the state of Georgia. And if one extrapolates that many of the other states have similar mechanisms, similar concerns, similar procedures, it's not hard to see where many states would also have similar problems. One might say, oh, you're only talking about Georgia. This is not a nationwide problem. But it very well could suggest that there is.
Well, right. I have a feeling that this is going to be done in multiple states. And one of the reasons why we suspect that is because there are fingerprints of the World Economic Forum on this, and which we can talk about when we come back from the break. But it appears that that was one of the driving, motivating factors that behind Brad Raffensperger's decision, because nothing else seems to make any sense at all.
Oh, my goodness. Let me see what time it is. Do I have time to say what I want to say? No, I've got a real humdinger to add, the cherry to put on top of your sundae there after the break, something right. I looked up about the Secretary of State that puts a little bit more validity to what you're saying, as if it needs it. We'll be right back with more. Some miscellaneous announcements and more on this. Stay tuned.
Simple smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them old when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Second half of Stop the Presses, 25 February 2022, and a little bit of miscellaneous housekeeping here. Today I heard from P.F. Lazor, L-A-Z, like zebra, O-R. He's the longtime California prisoner in the Salinas Valley prison in Soledad, Central California, who's been in there very unjustly for way too long. He should never have been put in after his sham non-trial. He was sent up the river for second-degree murder when it was clearly Second Amendment self-defense. And his biggest fear now is he wants to get out before an anticipated, probable, prison-wide forced COVID jab. He says the prison populations are the first to be used as experimental guinea pigs for many social experiments, including medical ones. And he has particular personal chemical sensitivities, and so he anticipates that even though there's been a stay in the courts preventing a forced jab in the prisoner population that could be a forced jab California-wide to everybody eventually, he still, even though there's been a stay in the courts, he still thinks that due to the capriciousness of the system and the unpredictability of it, that that could change any time, and he and the rest of the prison population could be imperiled. That's for sure. At any rate, he is trying to get out. He should have been out in 1992. That's just how unjust this is. The Board of Parole hearings has been vastly unfair and treacherous about this from everything I've seen. But I'm showing on the screen for video viewers and reading this for audio listeners a little bit of quick information to help P.F. Lazor to plead for him to be freed from prison. You can go to, as I'm showing here, the Office of the Inspector General to get one thing corrected here. A website, and that's oig.ca.gov/connect. Again, the Office of the Inspector General of the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, www.oig.ca.gov/connect. For overland mail, you can write to the Office of the Inspector General, 10111 Old Placerville Road, just like I'm showing you here, Placerville, 10111 Old Placerville Road, Suite 110, Sacramento, California, 95827. Those who want to help Free Laser can also contact the Santa Clara County, California District Attorney, Jeffrey F. Rosen, R like Roger, O S like Sam, E N Rosen, phone number 408-299-3099, as I'm showing here, 408-299-3099. The email, J as in Jeffrey, J Rosen at DAO, as in district attorney, DAO.sccgov.org. sccgov.org. One more time, jrosen at dao.s like Sam, ccgov.org. Or he likes to get direct mail in prison, write to Laser directly. Here I'm showing it, and I'll read it. P.F. Laser, prisoner number C like Carl, 73842, box 1050, A1-112, that's A like Apple, A1-112, Soledad, California, S like Sam, OLEDAD, Soledad, California, 93960. And you can stress points like he was unjustly imprisoned on second-degree murder charge for what was an act of self-defense, and that the entire Board of Parole hearings process has been riddled with unlawful operations and fraud. He was supposed to be freed way back on May 1st, 1992. Can you believe it? But the only way he can be imprisoned indefinitely is if, under California law, he himself was a particularly dangerous individual, which he never was and never will be, and the crime for which he is imprisoned was especially grisly or heinous, which, of course, there's no way that that could be the case. So, enough said, but I wanted to get that out there. It's very important to free this political prisoner, because that's what it amounts to. He's in there for exercising his Second Amendment rights and for speaking out against the unjustness, the unjust conditions and procedures in the prison system during the almost 40 years that he's been there. He's been there since 1983. Just a quick view here. Here's that Office of the Inspector General website showing this for the video viewers. Again, to confirm, oig.ca.gov/connect. When you go down, you'll see contact us and report misconduct. You can enter your written information there, or you can just go down to connect with us. Either one of those, report misconduct or connect with us. Okay, that being sufficient, we're going back to our main guest today, Garland Favrito of Voter GA. And Garland, what you were talking about, getting out of share screen here on the video side, what you were talking about Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, that what he is doing seems to have the fingerprints of the infamous World Economic Forum on it. Of course, that's become infamous during the COVIDocracy for Klaus Schwab sounding like some sort of would-be world dictator, being involved in a lot of things along with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We won't get into the whole witch's brew here, but go ahead and elaborate a little more on that, and I've got kind of a interesting aside to that.
Great. Yeah, so what we found out, Mark, was in picking Salesforce, Raffensperger also had selected, in fact, Mark Benioff, who is on the board of trustees of the World Economic Forum. We also found that Salesforce had partnered with the New Georgia Project, that's Stacey Abrams' group, to do a partisan voter registration drive. Of course, Stacey's only interested in and registering Democrats. And there's nothing wrong with her doing that, but it's wrong to have our vendor in that kind of partisanship environment. So, and that was Raffensperger's doing. So in addition to the fact that he was on the board of trustees, then as you're getting to, that brings up the gentleman, Klaus Schwab, who was the founder of the World Economic Forum. We determined that George Soros was the unagenda contributor, and he's also obviously probably funding a lot of that behind the scenes. And then as you were getting, I think, getting ready to go to, Schwab has this, he's written two books. One is called The Fourth Industrial Revolution, and the Salesforce director of corporate messaging said that this is intended to radically disrupt almost every business sector. And then, of course, and you mentioned, I heard on the commercial break, Schwab's other book, which was The Great Reset, using COVID to greatly reset the American and really the world business. And one of the quotes I thought was interesting that he had in his book, he said that the vote for breakfast and the, Brexit. The vote for Brexit and the election of President Trump on a protectionist platform are two momentous markers of the Western backlash against globalization, which is, of course, what he wants to achieve. And he said, subsequent studies also show that the rejection of globalization by voters is a rational response when the economy is strong and inequality is high. So he wants to obviously make the economy weak so that he can achieve the globalization based on his own research there. So that's all very, very disturbing to the people of Georgia who don't know this. And we felt that it was our obligation to inform and educate the voters of Georgia as to the intent of their Secretary of State. And the legislature, it doesn't look too fondly on all this.
I wouldn't think that they would. I cannot help but go to one more little share screen there that I think we'll all find quite interesting. That again puts kind of a cherry on top of what you're saying, and we're going to skip something else I was going to bring up today, and we'll get to that later. But this is of interest, and it's sort of an accent piece, you might say. But here we have the World Affairs Council of Atlanta, Georgia. Let me enlarge this. It should. Okay, we don't know what we don't want to go there. It's not real big for, let me make it larger for the video-only viewers. Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, addressed the World Affairs Council of Atlanta on July 29th, 2020. That's not made achingly clear here on this YouTube link, and I don't want to go to the video for now, but Brad Raffensperger has rubbed elbows with the globalist sect there in the state of Georgia. The World Affairs Council of Atlanta is one of about 90 World Affairs Councils that operate throughout the United States, mainly in urban areas, and they are part and parcel of the World Affairs Council of America, which is the umbrella organization. So again, you have this umbrella organization, WACA, or World Affairs Councils of America. Under them are 90 or so World Affairs Councils throughout the U.S., The state of Georgia has two of them, and one of them is the World Affairs Council of Atlanta. And Brad Raffensperger addressed that council July 29, 2022. And that organization, in general, not every member, not every person that's involved in it, but in general, would be ideologically in tune with the World Economic Forum, Garland.
Very interesting, yes. And I was not aware of that. So that does add a cherry to the top, just as you were saying. And you have to ask the question, why would they want Brad Raffensperger there?
He spoke on mail-in ballots and questions of voter suppression. There was a little notation there, voter suppression, mail-in ballots, and miscellaneous. I did not watch the video yet of the presentation. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. So interesting that the World Affairs, that became an interest to the World Affairs Council.
Yeah, yeah. You find this often, that local officials, county, state. I even found that little old Donna, Texas, where I live in that general area near the border, and other nearby cities have been affiliated with the Wilson Center, another one of these globalist think tanks out of Washington. And they tend to structure their business connections and their general civic procedures based on outside influences like that. So maybe it's not so much of a mystery why an India company like TMX would be involved in something like this, using personal computers, you know, very lackadaisical procedures. But Garland, in the time we have left, probably 13 minutes or so, kind of outline anything else you want to add about what we're talking about today about the cloud. Get that first, but then maybe give us a summary of some of the other recent things Voter GA is doing or any upcoming things. You know, just kind of summarize everything.
Sure, Mark. So I think we've covered this pretty well. One of the things that just stuck out to me was this class action lawsuit is just absolutely devastating against Salesforce, being accused of basically putting, allowing personal identification information for 20,000 customers of a retailer to be put out on the dark web for sale. I just couldn't get over it. I read the brief. It's on the U.S. District Court. And in fact, it's even linked into the press release so other people can read it. But the first seven paragraphs of that brief are just absolutely astounding. So that's something we are doing. It's probably worth talking about. But so coming up for in the future, of course, we have found so much evidence. They keep saying there is no evidence of election fraud. You know, we found, we had the six sworn affidavits for counterfeit ballots in the Fulton County results. We haven't seen those. We found 17,324 votes in Fulton County that didn't have any ballot images. That's not possible because the system has to have a ballot image to create the cast vote record and tabulate. We found there's hundreds, you know, nobody knows how many ballots were put in drop boxes statewide. There was no requirement to keep record of that. We know there's hundreds of thousands of forms missing for hundreds of thousands of ballots. We found over 100,000 that had missing forms. We're probably going to find another 100,000 that don't have, they don't have OAS. The collection team members pick them up. They don't have OAS. We're looking into that. And we're finding more and more evidence of election manipulation, electronic manipulation, Mark. So we are trying to put all that together to see if that can, we have the correct information, we want to vet it perfectly and properly. And if we do, we will, you know, possibly be releasing that sometime in the future. But there's just so many things that are wrong here in Georgia. And we actually did about a couple of weeks ago a 42-point refutation of Brad Raffensperger's letter to members of Congress back on January 6th when he said that there was no election fraud and the president's, Trump's people were all wrong and they were making false statements and all this other stuff. And, you know, all that turns out to be a lie. You know, we pretty much nailed him on that. So it's... Brad's just not a very popular person in Georgia right now for good reason. So those are some of the kind of things that we are looking into and we have looked into. There's just so much more that is still to come. And once we can get it all out on the table, we'll probably summarize it all so somebody can really digest it. But it's just massive, massive fraud, irregularities and errors. Here in Georgia in the November election, any one of which 10 different things would have warranted a redo of the election and would warrant the pulling of the electors.
And remind me, just for the record, the claim of how much did Joe Biden allegedly beat Donald Trump by vote-wise in November of 2020?
11,779.
Okay, that's not a very big hurdle to clear when you're talking about the data and the numbers and the information you're talking about now. What's stunning about this is how, with relative ease, without a great deal of difficulty, and you did have Judge Brian Amaro in the courts there in Georgia give you several favorable rulings, not every single time, but you did make some advancement in the courts. And it just seems like it's low-hanging fruit. It's not something you had to struggle exceedingly hard to find. All these anomalies and irregularities and evidence of fraud and misrepresentation, you name it, and suggesting strongly, even though you didn't always look for a recount, you were just looking more at the validity of what was done in the election. You weren't really calling for a recount much, if at all. But just to look at that for a moment, it appears that there's enough to warrant a new election in Georgia. Just say, pretend we lived in a world where that was possible, and you would only expect to come out with a different outcome, and Trump would be the winner. And I'm not saying that in favor of Trump, like I love Trump and hate Biden's, that kind of thing. I'm talking about like I would a sports game. Hey, there was a mistake, and the Eagles won instead of the Packers, and you know, I have no skin in the game. I don't have a dog in this fight, but that's just the facts, you know.
Instant replay, huh?
yeah, instant replay. And it's just amazing how much stuff you can stack in front of the establishment there, the Raffensburgers of the world, and they're too busy speaking to the World Affairs Councils and getting their imprimatur from the World Economic Forum to pay close attention or to admit that the emperor's wearing no clothes here. I mean, how much Sherlock Holmes work do you have to do? I mean, my goodness. You've put everything but the dead bodies out there, metaphorically speaking.
Right. Yes. And there's still a little bit more to come. But at some point in time, when is enough enough? That's the question. But any one of there's probably 10 different types of fraud or errors or irregularities, any one of which would justify a redo of the election. Based on Georgia law, which, and it's happened before. We had a race that was redone back in 2004, and it was a House race. And at any time where there's enough doubt about a number of votes that is more than the margin of victory, that is enough to declare a redo of the election.
That was 2004, a House race?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting. I didn't know that. So let me ask you this: as we get into the last few minutes, what are there certain members of the Georgia legislature, House or Senate, that are particularly open to what you're saying? Is the legislative assembly overall reasonably open to what voter GA is doing, or is it a mixed bag? I mean, you don't really have a friend in Raffensperger, but how's the legislature?
The legislature has been very friendly to us lately. They are concerned. They know that there's something wrong. They want to understand better about what it is, and they seem to have a desire to fix it. So I'm real pleased with the way that's been going. I tell our folks here, I said, I've never gotten such a good reception at the legislature as I've gotten this year.
That's interesting. Hopefully they would reach for the holy grail on this, and that is that votes should be counted at each voting station within each precinct before the chain of custody is released and they go to central tabulation. There should be an initial count in each voting precinct at each voting station, and that count should be done publicly and in the open. Before there's any break in the chain of custody, and of course there really should never be any significant break, if at all, in that chain of custody. But many people interested in this issue have told me that that is the raison d'etre, that is the thing that matters the most. Count it locally at each precinct level, publicly and manually, preferably using hand-counted paper ballots, before there is computer counting of any significance and before the chain of custody is in any way affected. Are any members of the legislature willing to listen to what I just said? Would that resonate with any of them?
It would resonate with a handful. As we get more and more evidence on the table of possible election manipulation electronic, I think more and more will resonate with that. It's probably not as many right now, but at least they're waking up. So we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I also heard that there's a neighborhood in Atlanta that wants to sort of secede from Atlanta. I wonder if that would be affected by a loss of the election system. This is just sort of a miscellaneous item. This would affect not just presidential politics, but any election, right? I mean, even the most basic of local elections could be affected by this refusal to correct these problems.
Well, right. So there's Milton County is wanting to, they're looking at running their own elections. I'm very close to Milton, and I know a lot of the people there. Milton City, it's the city of Milton. A lot of the cities are trying to and have successfully more or less seceded from Fulton County. So they're establishing their own governments. They want to get out. Fulton County is way too big. It goes from the far north of Atlanta to far south. The county itself is way, way too big. So that could be split in future years as well.
Yeah, I even heard there's a neighborhood within Atlanta that wants to be its own separate city. I forget the name of it. But, lots going on there in Georgia that's very interesting. But, I know there's a lot of other election integrity advocates. We're in about the last minute of the show that are going to be very interested in what you have to say, Garland, and your group, Voters Organized for Trusted Election Results, or Voter GA. That's a very clever name. And it just seems like that you maybe don't get always the publicity that maybe you deserve, but it seems like you've got the longevity and the tenacity to carry this out more than any group I've seen. But, Garland, I want to thank you for being on the show. Any final real quick comments?
Well, that's in large part, Mark, to our volunteers. We've got an incredible volunteer network. And the other thing that helps out a lot is I know your listeners and so many listeners are supporting us with donations, and that they're all tax deductible. That keeps us alive, and I don't take a salary, so it all goes to research and lawyer fees.
Thank you, Garland. Anybody that wants to read about this, go to VoterGA.org. That's VoterGA.org. Thanks, Garland. Thanks, Ron. We'll see everybody next time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.